Good morning. At some point in their lives, everyone knows what it feels like to be thirsty. On the sidelines of most sporting events, there are large jugs of water or racks of water bottles to make sure that athletes can stay hydrated while they compete. If you have ever been involved in working on a construction job or have done any landscaping, especially on a hot day, you know how very easily somebody can get tired and thirsty. Even if you just take a walk outside in the middle of summer in the Midwest, doesn't take long, doesn't take much walking before you become thirsty. Sometimes you simply lose track of time and you haven't had anything to drink for several hours, and suddenly the thirst is there. The sensation of thirst is the way that our body lets us know that we're becoming dehydrated, that it needs more water if our body is going to keep functioning properly. Thankfully, we have many ways to get rid of thirst. People drink milk, apple juice, orange juice, beer, tea, coffee, and countless other drinks in order to slake thirst. But the best possible way to satisfy thirst comes from probably the most abundant resource on our planet, and it is water. There's nothing like a tall, ice-cold glass of water on a hot day when you're feeling thirsty. But no matter how much water you drink and how cool and refreshing it is, the thirst always comes back. In our sermon study for this morning, Jesus meets a woman from Samaria, and he asks for something very simple. He asks for a drink of water. However, Jesus takes this opportunity to offer this woman water as well. He offers her living water, meaning the gospel of the forgiveness of sins given to us by Jesus himself. He tells the Samaritan woman that if somebody drinks from this living water, they'll never be thirsty again. Just as Jesus gave that woman the living water in the form of the gospel, he has also given it to us. And since we have that living water in the form of the gospel, we can also share it with others. We read this morning from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 5 to 14. So he, that is Jesus, came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." This is the word of God. As it commonly happened in his earthly ministry, Jesus and his disciples were on the road. After leaving the region of Judea, they were traveling north. And as they traveled, they passed through a region that was called Samaria. Now, most Jewish people had a long-standing history of hard feelings with the Samaritans. And for that reason, they made every effort to avoid traveling through Samaria if they could help it. However, our Savior Jesus came to break down the barriers and differences between people, between Jews and Samaritans, between Jews and Gentiles. Jesus was just as much the Savior of the Samaritans as he was the Savior of the Jews. So as Jesus and his disciples headed north, they decided to stop in a small town called Sychar, which was about halfway between Jerusalem and where Jesus grew up in the city of Nazareth. After a long day of walking, Jesus and his disciples were probably very tired, perhaps even exhausted. And because they were hungry, verse 8 of our text says that they had gone, Jesus' disciples, that is, had gone into the town in order to buy food, buy themselves something to eat. And now, besides being probably very tired and very hungry, Jesus was thirsty. While Jesus was true God while he lived here on earth, he was also true man. And as all of us know, being a human being means getting hungry, getting tired. And in our sermon reading for this morning, we also learn that it means that Jesus, like every other human being, got thirsty. Now, fortunately for Jesus, there was a well near this town of Sychar. And from John 4, we learn that this was actually the well of Jacob, an ancestor and patriarch of the people of Israel and an ancestor of Jesus. This well was built in the lifetime of Jacob and had been providing water to the people of that area for over 1,500 years, long enough to see the coming of the Savior that had been promised through people like Jacob over 15 centuries before. Being thirsty, Jesus walked up to a woman who was drawing water out of the well, like most people needed to. And he asked her for a very simple favor. He asked her for a drink. Somehow, whether it was by the way he looked, the way he talked, the way he dressed, this woman knew that Jesus wasn't from around Samaria. Instead, she knew that he was one of the Jewish people. Being very aware of the animosity and the hostility that existed between the Samaritans and the Jews, the woman replied by asking him the question, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" This woman obviously had no idea who Jesus really was. To her, he must have just looked like any other normal Jewish man. And that's why it seems strange to her that somebody, a Jew, would break the cultural norm, the cultural custom, and ask her for something like a drink of water. In Jesus' reply to her, we see that he is a Savior of all ages, of every gender, of every background, and of every race. Jesus told her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The Samaritan woman still didn't understand, but she would soon. She didn't realize that the man that she was talking to was, in fact, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior, promised in the Old Testament for the entire world. Jesus asked her for a drink of water, but he also offered her a drink as well. The woman didn't understand what Jesus was offering her either. The one and only Messiah was offering her nothing but the gospel, which is the good news that Jesus had come to take away her sins and the sins of the entire world. The same gospel is the drink of living water that Jesus gives to us. Before the Holy Spirit created faith in our hearts, we were all desperately thirsty. We were thirsty, but we didn't even know it. Before Christ came into our lives, the only thing that we had was our sins weighing us down and hell waiting for us when we died. That's where the law comes in. God's law, which shows us all the ways that we have failed God, the ways that we have disobeyed him, the ways that we have turned our back on him, shows us how spiritually worthless all of us really are. The law was what told us, you are thirsty. You are thirsty for righteousness. And if you don't get any righteousness, you will die forever in hell because of your sins. Thankfully, God's word doesn't just leave us hanging with the law. No, God's word doesn't leave us in our sins and make us try to run around and find our own way out of it. That's where the gospel comes in. If God's law is what creates a thirst for righteousness, God's gospel is what satisfies that thirst. If a law tells us all the ways that we have failed God and turned our back on him, the gospel tells us that Jesus, our Savior, has taken away all of our sins. Jesus is the tall, ice-cold glass of water that satisfies a person's thirst for righteousness. That woman at the well in Samaria would eventually realize exactly who she was talking to. She would realize that she was talking to the Messiah that the world had been waiting for. And through Jesus' powerful word, the Holy Spirit would enter her heart and create saving faith. She would believe that Jesus was the only one that was capable of taking away her sin. And after she realized that Jesus was the Son of God, she wouldn't keep it to herself. Later in John chapter 4, it says that the woman put down her water pot, she ran into the city, and she told everybody she could about Jesus. Those people she told came and heard the words of Jesus, and many of them believed in Jesus as the Savior of the world as well. Do we treat the news of the Savior the same way? After we hear in church Sunday after Sunday how Jesus died for our sins and rose to save us from our sins, do we drop what we're doing and tell other people about him? If you're like me, you hear God's word on Sunday, but you don't look for opportunities to tell people about him. You stay silent with the opportunities that you do have. As Christians, we have the living water of God's word taught in church every Sunday. We have that living water in our homes when we read our Bibles. We know what the living water is and where it can be found. The living water is the gospel. And the gospel is found in God's word, in the Bible. If a man is dying of thirst and he finds a pool of cool and clean water, you can bet that he's going to go and tell all the other thirsty people he knows exactly where they can find water. In the same way, God wants us to take the message of the gospel, the only thing that can satisfy our thirst for righteousness, and to give that gospel to others. Like I mentioned before, there are many people in the world who don't know that they're thirsty. People will say things like, God doesn't exist, and if he did, I definitely don't want his forgiveness. That's why God's word also has the law, and why we need to tell people about that law. The law is what shows us that we are sinners and that we do need a savior from those sins, that there's no way that we can possibly save ourselves. The law is what creates in people's heart a knowledge that there is a God that requires from every single human being absolute 100% perfection. The law shows that human beings who aren't perfect are going to hell when they die. The law is the part of God's word that isn't fun to talk to people about. It isn't pleasant to tell people about. But it's something that everybody needs to hear so that they realize just how much they need a savior. But then, after you tell somebody about the law, after they realize how much of a sinner they are, how much of a sinner every single person in the world is, that's when you get to tell them about the gospel. You get to tell them that there is a way out of sins. You get to tell that thirsty person, here is where the water is. Even better is if somebody asks, well, how much does that water cost? And you can tell them that that water is free. There is nothing that any of us can or have to give or any of us have to do in order to earn our salvation. Our place in heaven has been given to us as a free gift. And that's the definition of grace. Forgiveness of sins that God gave us for free. So please, go and tell other people about God's word and all the wonderful things that God has done for you. For the people who don't know how thirsty they are, tell them about God's law and how they, just like everybody else in the world, is not going to earn their way to heaven, how burdened they are by their sins. Also tell them how desperately we all need a savior. And then, when that person, when those people know about their sins, when they feel their sins weighing heavy on them, just like all of us have, tell them where the water is. Tell them about the gospel. Tell them about how Jesus lived and died and rose again to take away all of their sins. Tell them that God's salvation is a free gift, and that there's nothing left for us to do. Our God has brought the living water of his word to us. May we take that living water and give it to as many people as we possibly can. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and keep your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.